Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. We're going to get into the story of Elisha. But this week, before we actually start talking about Elisha, we're going to look into the call of Elisha. So we're going to look at a story pertaining to Elijah as we get into the actual story of Elisha and things that we can learn from the call of Elisha, what Elijah went through in the moments and time when God spoke unto Elijah about Elisha. And as we get into this teaching further along, we're going to learn some other things from the life of Elisha. So we're going to start in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 9. It says, "Then he came there to a cave, lodged there, and behold, the word of Yahweh came to him, and he said to him, 'What are you doing here, Elijah?' And he said, 'I have been very zealous for Yahweh, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, pulled down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away.'" So we're going to pause here for a moment. So this is a conversation that is occurring between Elijah and God. And this is at the moment in time where Jezebel is upset and angry with Elijah and is wanting to seek and kill Elijah. So Elijah goes running from Jezebel and he takes refuge in this cave. That is where he chose to hide from Jezebel. So he is in this cave hiding from Jezebel, who is angry and upset with him. And we see here how Elijah is feeling. So he is saying, "Look, I've been very zealous for you, Yahweh. With all that I have within me, I have followed the instructions you have given me. I have desired to walk in covenant with you." And he's looking around and he says, "The people that I see in Israel, they have forgotten your covenant. They are not walking in covenant with you. They have pulled down your altars. They are no longer worshiping you." And he goes on to say, "They have killed the prophets with the sword, and I alone am left." So Elijah is feeling like he is the only person that is left in Israel that is walking in covenant with Yahweh, okay, that is zealous for his ways. When he says, "I was zealous for Yahweh," that means he had a burning desire in him to walk in the righteousness of Yahweh, to follow the instructions in which he had given, to do that which was right. He had a zeal about him, an eagerness, a burning desire to do that which was right. And now he is feeling like, "I am in this spot where I have desired to do what is right, and it has put me in this spot where he feels like his actions are not being rewarded," you could say. He feels as if he is now left as the only one, and now his life is being sought after. And they're trying to kill him. And he's like, "What is going to be left if Jezebel gets her way?" So he seems to be in fear, saying the fact that he has ran from Jezebel, and he is hiding in the cave from her. So I would say Elijah at this moment in time is a bit worked up. His mind is probably running at 100 miles an hour with all kind of thoughts that are just flowing through his head and flying through his head about what is happening, what could happen, what is going to be. And it is at this moment that God begins to have this conversation with him while he is in this cave. And I find it very interesting that Elijah is in a cave when this is going on. So he sought refuge in hiding in this cave, but in doing so, He put himself in a quiet place where nobody else was, and he was separated from that which was going on in Israel. He still had the thoughts going in his mind about what was going on in Israel, but he was separated from them at that moment. He was in a quiet place, and it was in that quiet place that now God begins to speak with Elijah. And you could think about us and us living in this world and the chaos of this world around us, and how it is important for us to take that time to separate from the chaos, to detach from the chaos, to put ourselves in that place of that cave like Elijah was in, where we can sit detached from the chaos, where we can sit in a place away from the lies of this world and the ways of this world and what they're doing and how they are behaving and acting when they are not walking in covenant with God. And to be in that quiet place so that we can quiet ourselves. And that's where we have to begin to learn how to do, is how to quiet ourselves. Because we're going to see here as we read on that sometimes it's in that quietness that we're going to find him. Verse 11, so he said, go forth and stand on the mountain before Yahweh. And behold, Yahweh was passing by, and a great and a strong wind was tearing up the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before Yahweh. But Yahweh was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But Yahweh was not in the earthquake. Then after the earthquake, a fire. But Yahweh was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a thin, gentle whisper. Now it happened that when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, and he went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? So Elijah is hiding in this cave, and God is having this conversation with him. But we get this sense that there's a moment where it goes from just a conversation to where Elijah now knows that God is with him. And it's interesting because at first, you see the mighty rushing wind. Then you see the earthquake, and then you see the fire. But it says, in those things, Yahweh was not in them. But yet we do see in other places of Scripture where things like this did occur, and God's people felt his presence and they heard his voice. We have that example of Israel at Mount Sinai, when you have the thunder and the lightning that occurs at the mountain, and the people become terrified and they withdraw from the mountain, and they look at Moses and say, you go speak to him on our behalf. So we see that example there where God did show up in the mighty, powerful acts. We also see it in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost, on the day of Shavuot, where he appears in a mighty way, just like that, unto the early disciples when he pours out his Holy Spirit upon them. Okay. But here in this passage, God is showing us that there are times that we find him not in the powerful acts, not in the fire, not in the earthquake, not in the mighty wind, but we find him in the gentle whisper. We find him when we take that moment to be silent. When we take that moment to listen and to hear. When we take that moment to silence ourselves. Not just that we stop speaking, but we also silence our thoughts. We silence the thoughts that are negative. We silence the thoughts of fear. We silence the thoughts of doubt, of unforgiveness, of bitterness, of jealousy, and of envy. We silence those thoughts that do not line up with his thoughts. And we take that time to align our minds and our thoughts with his thoughts. We take that moment to get in our so-called cave, to be quiet, to be still, to bring our minds into alignment with his mind, where our mind is thinking as he thinks, where we have the same thoughts that he has. We are to have his mind. We are to have the mind of Messiah. And if we're going to walk in peace, if we're going to walk in unity and be with him, we need to be in unity with him when it comes to our mind and with our thoughts. We need to be one with him in our mind. We need to be one with him in our thoughts. And as our thoughts and our minds become one with him, then we will begin to hear his voice in the gentle whisper. Then we will begin to walk as he walked. We will begin to do what he did. In order for us to become like Messiah, we have to become like-minded with Messiah. So we have to be able to take that moment to sit back, to be quiet, to learn to take our mind and to shift our minds away from what's going on to being mindful of him. Elijah was in this cave thinking about the disaster that was coming from Jezebel. And God came and met him and had to shift his mindset and give him a new mindset and a new way of thinking. And that's what we need to learn how to do is to learn to shift our mindset and to think differently. Let's look at Job chapter 4 and verse 16. It stood still, but I could not recognize its appearance. A form was before my eyes. There was silence. Then I heard a voice. So we need to be able to be in that silence. Learn how to work in that silence and to be able to hear in that silence. If we never get into silence, into that quiet place, then are we going to be able to hear the voice? There was silence. Then I heard a voice. Let's look at what Yeshua says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. And when you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, Yeshua speaking here is talking about how we are to pray. He's teaching his disciples on how we are to pray, how we are to speak with him. Now, the first point in this is that our prayer life and our talking to him should not be done out of a motivation to be rewarded by men. But it is to be done with the motivation to actually connect with him. Because if you're only praying to be seen by men, then your reward is going to be that men look at you and say, oh, look at him. He's praying. He's such a good man. But if you go into your inner room, you shut your door. So you are in your secret place. Just as Elijah was in that cave, he was in a secret place. And while he was in that secret place, he heard the small, still voice, the gentle whisper in that secret place. So the reward to those who go into that secret place is they will hear that still small voice. And Elijah, who thought he was the only one left, hears this still small voice of God. It's interesting because, as I said before, he was in a conversation with God. But upon hearing the still small voice, the scripture says that he wrapped his face in his mantle, meaning he felt the glory of Yahweh's presence. So the still small voice that he heard spoke was different than the conversation that he was already having. In this still soft voice, he felt the presence of God. He felt the glory of God show up. We can have a conversation with him and we can hear his voice, but then there are times when we're in that quiet place that not only do we hear his voice, but we can feel his presence. We can feel the weight of his presence, the glory of his presence there, and we can know that he is there. And because Elijah knew that he was there and his glory was there, he wraps his face in the mantle. And in his presence, he begins to receive from Yahweh that which he needs. He receives the strength. He receives the goodness of God. In his presence, that's what he feels. He feels the goodness of God. He feels the weight of the goodness of God. And then he begins to receive the goodness of God. And those are all things that we can experience as well when we take the time to separate ourselves from the world, when we take that time to align ourselves with him, coming in unity with his mind and seeking to be one with his mind and changing our thoughts to his thoughts instead of our own thoughts, we can then begin to hear that quiet whisper. And with that quiet whisper, we can feel the weight of his goodness and we can receive from his goodness. He gives us the strength that we need to be the light that we have called to be the change that we have called to be. We have been called to make a difference. We have been called to be a light, to bring change, and to bring life. And we can do that, but we cannot do that on our own. We do it by receiving from his goodness. We do it by his spirit. It is Him working in and through us that is leading and guiding us along through this journey. So if we feel or you feel like Elijah, you may say, you know, I kind of feel like Elijah right now in this world. I can relate to how Elijah felt hiding in that cave. But see, the good thing for us is that God will meet us where we are just as he met Elijah in that cave. We just need to be willing and able to hear the small, still voice like Elijah heard. And now we're going to get into what Yahweh tells Elijah upon this encounter in the cave and upon Elijah hearing this small, gentle whisper and sensing the weight and the goodness of God. So we're going to go back to 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 15. And Yahweh said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus, and you will arrive and anoint Hazael, king over Aram, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi. You shall anoint king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, and of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place." So this is the moment in which God calls Elisha to be a prophet in the place of Elijah. As we go on and read of the story of Elijah, we know that Elijah is called up into the heavens or into the sky. He is one of two men that the Bible records that does not die on this earth. And so God already knows that this is occurring. He knows the plan that's about to happen. So he is putting his plan and purpose in place. And so he calls out to Elijah and says, "Look, I have a man named Elisha. You think you're the only one left?" You know, and God goes on to show Elijah that there's a remnant remaining. He's not just the only one. It's not just Elisha. But he shows Elisha there is a young man. His name is Elisha. And you are to anoint him as prophet. So you are to go, and you're going to get him. And we're going to, as we dive into this and next week, we're going to see how Elisha becomes a servant unto Elijah. So now Elijah is actually going to go into the role of becoming a mentor unto Elisha. God just doesn't pull Elijah out and then put Elisha in. He calls Elisha before it's time for Elijah to go. And he gives Elijah the task of mentoring and training Elisha. He takes Elisha under his wings. So now as Elijah continues on in his ministry and what he is doing, he has Elisha right there by his side with him. So Elijah goes from this point of thinking that he's the only one left. He has this zeal for Yahweh, and he is not seeing it anywhere around him, to now being able to go and take a young man, and with his zeal from Yahweh, he can now train this young man to be a prophet in his place. That has to be a very rewarding thing for Elijah. The ability to be able to pour out what you have, what you have been taught, what you have learned, what God has given you, and to be able to put that and to give that to somebody else. And to know that that person is going to be able to function and operate and roll in this function. That's a blessing. And you put that on top of the blessing that Elijah thought he was going to be the last one. He thought that if Jezebel got her way and killed him, that there would be none left. And now, in a small, still voice, he gets to see that even when he's gone, because he actually is going to go, that there is still going to be a prophet for Israel after he is gone. And not only is there still going to be a prophet for Israel, but he gets to play a part and a role in mentoring this next prophet. So what we can see here is Elijah was looking at this scenario through his eyes and not through God's. And we can fall into that same trap. God is always moving. He always has a plan in place. He's always working. And he has things in place for his purpose and his desires on this earth. And we just need to learn how to tap in and to hear his voice so we can see what his plan is and what his desires are on this earth. And Elijah learned that plan. He learned the desire that God had in the still small voice while hiding in a cave by himself. If we can learn to shift our mindset, and instead of hiding in a cave, thinking about the disaster that's going to come, and instead put our focus upon, where's Elisha? Upon being told this by God, Elijah goes out and he finds Elisha. It gets Elijah out of hiding in that cave. We need to stop thinking about I'm the only one left, to thinking about where's Elisha. Instead of thinking about what bad could happen, thinking about what is my purpose? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? Because fear will cripple you. Fear will put you in the cave, hiding, not doing your purpose. If you're focused upon your purpose, you will be out and about, and you will not have any room for fear. So let this be an encouragement to focus upon what your purpose is, not hide in fear, to get your mind in unison and alignment with his, thinking as he thinks, and giving yourself that time where you separate yourself from the chaos of this world and get into that quiet place. Not just a physical quiet place, but where you as a person are quiet, where you are still, where you are at peace, and listen to the voice of God and experience the goodness of God. And in those moments, you will be fueled to go out and to do your purpose. Well, hallelujah. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now and Shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.